wonderful.
Sweeter is His grace while pressing on my way.
He's a wonderful Savior to me.
For He's a wonderful Savior to me. He's a wonderful Savior to me. I was lost in sin, and Jesus took me in. He's a wonderful Savior to me.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Good afternoon, Fifth Ward.
Good afternoon.
It is a blessing to be alive and in the land of the living. And to have the privilege that we have to come and to pay homage to God's holy and divine name. And we want to start out right. How do you start out right, someone says? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. That's a promise. And so I'd like to just acknowledge God by going into the lesson before going into the lesson, because if I mess it up, He'll bless it up. Can you say amen? Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we're so thankful for this, another privilege, another opportunity to come and to pay homage to your holy and divine name. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we come to study your eternal truths, that your word will saturate our hearts, that it will find a lodging place in our souls, and we'll leave here better for having come. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with your servant's mouth. Use his mouth as a mouthpiece to proclaim your eternal truths, so that your word will not return to you void, but that it will accomplish the purpose wherewith you sent it. And if you do that, Father, and we know you will, we'll be ever so careful to make sure that you receive all the glory. In Jesus' powerful name, we pray. Let's all say, amen. Amen. Now, I'm supposed to speak from the theme, the best news for the best life. And this is a series of gospel revival meetings. And I just happen to be the front runner. I'm the first leg. And when I ran track, I learned that first leg needs to get a lead. And then these other preachers following behind me, and Brother Smith has already mentioned, they will carry it on. And then I'm sure on Wednesday night, you're going to have the anchor band. Now, that anchor man, that's a burden on that man. I'm glad I'm not the anchor man. And so we're so thankful to be with you on this morning. I didn't take the time this morning to say this, but I want to say this to this congregation. We appreciate so much the opportunity we have to come and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. It's always a blessing to work with your very fine minister, Gary Smith, committed to the body of Christ and the kingdom of God, just a super personality. As I learn more about him, I can see his father in him. I've known Brother Smith and about Brother Smith for years. Brother Winston knew Brother Smith, and to see his father, who's an elder, and the son serving, that's certainly worthy of commendation. And then to the elders of this church, we want you to know we appreciate the opportunity to be here to serve with you. And we thank God for this opportunity, and we wish this church Godspeed. The best news for the best life. Now, we know that the best news is the good news. The gospel of Jesus Christ and the best life. And so I decided the way I would get at this subject is to use this for a subject. Never give up on your dreams. Never give up on your dreams. Turn to your neighbor, even if they're not close to you, and just whisper, tell them, never to give up on your dreams. And if you'll turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, verse number 43, the Bible is clear there, and I want you to see the story that we're going to use to get at this subject. Luke chapter 8, verse number 43. The Bible says, a woman having an issue of blood for 12 long years and who had spent all of her living on doctors, and none of them could heal her. But she came behind Jesus and touched the hem of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said to her, "Who touched me?" And when everyone denied it, Peter said, "Master, the whole multitude press you and almost crush you. And you asking us who touched you?" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive that the power have gone from my body." And when the woman saw that she could not hide, she came trembling and fell down before him, declaring in the presence of all the people for what cause she had touched him. And she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith have made you whole." Now, I'll tell you about me. I just believe in divine appointments. I believe that God will create situations where you can meet somebody and he'll use that person, or you will be impacted. And it's a create. Some of you have never seen me before in your life. And some of you, most of you, I've not seen before in my life. I conclude this is a divine appointment. Somebody in here is about to give up. Somebody in here is about to give up on their dreams. Somebody is struggling with a health issue, a wealth issue, a relationship issue, a career issue, and ultimately their salvation. So let's just look at this lesson to see what we can get from it. What was this woman's dream? That's the first thing. What was this woman's dream? Now, what we learn here is that in verse number 43, the woman had an issue of blood for 12 long years, and she had spent all. What's left after all? None. She spent all of her living on doctors, and none of them could heal her. Now, the next thing we got to ask ourselves is, what was her dream? Her dream was to be healed. Sometimes we need to stop long enough and talk about what a dream is. She never gave up on her dream. She wanted to be healed. There are three types of dreams I want to just talk to y'all about for a moment. The first kind of dream is your purpose dream. Everybody who's created on earth has a purpose. Even Jesus had a purpose. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 13, verse number 8, Jesus was slain. The Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the earth. Everything God creates, he first gives it a purpose. Someone says, what is purpose? Purpose is the original intent and the end result that God had in mind when he creates whatever he creates. So God had a purpose in mind when he created you. You're not a genetic mistake. You're not some cosmic accident. God created you for a purpose, and everybody got a purpose dream. The second kind of dream is personal dreams. Personal dreams are usually connected to your purpose, so you can have purpose instrumental goals. Personal dreams are dreams that you have that you can accomplish, like a house, like a car, like wealth, like children, like a relationship. Or it could be something as small as a hamburger. You can have dreams. Personal dreams are those things that you really want to accomplish in life. But the last kind of dream, paramount dreams, is the greatest and the highest and the wildest dream that you can imagine. Most of us never accomplish our paramount dreams because we give up on our dreams early on. Sometimes there's somebody telling you you shouldn't do it, or you shouldn't go do that, or you shouldn't be a doctor, or you shouldn't be a musician, or you shouldn't be. Paramount dreams are those dreams that's inside of you, that was born in you. It's your birthright. It's part of you. And it's this highest imagination that you can think of. Most people don't even use their imagination. Imagination is a sacred ground. Yeah. It's almost like you got to have a lock and key on your imagination, because people will interrupt your imagination and stop you from imagining. It reminds me of a passage of scripture that I think we can relate to, where the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20, "Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us." And when you look at that text, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit really is help us to be able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can imagine. You ever thought about dreams? I like Langston Hughes' perspective on dreams. And he said this, a dream deferred. What happens when a dream is deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun? Or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat or crust over, like sugar over, like syrup sweet? Maybe it sags like a heavy load. Or does it explode? Let me tell you something about dreams. You can hold on to a dream and you think it's not there and you think it's not going to happen and you think it's about, and then all of a sudden it explodes. Yeah. What you got to understand is a dream deferred is not a dream denied. A dream deferred is a dream that if you keep on dreaming and keep on believing, if you'll keep on having this attitude, this is what the Message version says. God can do anything, even far than you can ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. See, we got to understand something. We were created to imagine. God is a God of imagination. God created the whole universe, and he created it with his spirit, and he created it with imagination. Deep down inside of you, you have a dream, that paramount dream. It's the highest dream. It's the biggest dream. It's the greatest dream. It's that dream that you had in you, and you look up and see somebody doing it, and you say, whoa, I wish I could do that. You look at another person accomplishing their dream, and that's why you got to understand a dream deferred is not a dream denied. Yeah. This woman was forced to dream differently. Yeah. See, sometimes you can't have that purpose dream or that personal dream or the paramount dream because you're backed in a corner now and your health is not what it should be. This woman was struggling with her health. This woman was in a desperate condition. She had a flow of blood that was existing for 12 long years. She had been to doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor, and some of the doctors were ripping her off. She'd had no more money, and she had to live under this burden. Her bleeding made her ceremonially and socially unclean. This was a burden that she had on herself for 12 years. Now, you got to understand what that means. If I'm ceremonially and socially unclean, that means I can't associate with anybody else. She had no friends because they said at that point in that custom, if she touched someone, the Jewish custom at that time, if a woman touched someone else when she had been made unclean, then she makes them unclean. And their uncleanness then becomes part of them. And so she could not come to church. She don't have a boyfriend. She don't have a girlfriend. Her sisters and her family and the people that she grew up with could not come around her because everybody looked at her like a plague. This woman was in a mess, ladies and gentlemen. And when you get to a point where you're backed up into a corner, where you don't have any other choice, you don't dream about your personal dream. You don't dream about, if you will, your purpose dream. You don't dream about your paramount dream. You just dream, Lord, heal me. And this woman had gotten to a point where she was caught up with the midst of her burden, of her existence, of the blood that was running. And now, ladies and gentlemen, what we see then, how was this woman healed? That's a good question. I believe that a lot of folk, some people die before their time. And we got some folk who are older, and you think just because you're older, you're supposed to be dying soon. But if you're still alive, God kept you alive for a purpose. What you got to understand is you need to stop concluding just because you're older. If you're walking around with a cane, if you're walking around, you can't get around. God left you here for a purpose. I had an opportunity to see the movie War Room. The movie War Room. Awesome movie. And what it's dealing with is you got to learn that, listen, just because you're older don't mean you're over. And listen, you need to tell some of these teenagers who want you, they say, well, you need to be young like me. I don't want to be young like you. I'm fishing in deeper water now. And what we got to understand is, ladies and gentlemen, when you are alive for a purpose. God does not keep you alive except for a purpose. It's your job to find out what your purpose is. And you'll find it if you will believe in your purpose dream, if you believe in your personal dream, and if you believe in your paramount dream. This woman combined all three, and all she wanted was to be healed. Now, let's look at a few points on how she was healed. First, she heard the word. How do you know? Luke chapter 8, verse number 38, the Bible says that the man from whom the demons were gone out of, and you know, sometimes the way to get the context of the passage, you got to back up in the passage to get the understanding. Well, this is backing up in the passage, and what we find here is that there was a man who was controlled by demons, and when the demons were gone out of him, he prayed, Jesus healed him, but Jesus sent him away after healing him, and this is what he told him. Return to your house and declare the great things God has done for you. And the Bible says, and he went his way back home. And on the way, he published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done for him. When was the last time you told some people about your good news story? When was the last time you took the time to tell the people about how God blessed you with your health, how God blessed you with your wealth, how God blessed you with your relationship, how God blessed you with your career, how God blessed? When was the last time you told somebody your story? And you know what, ladies and gentlemen, what we got to begin to understand, this woman was not ashamed to tell her story. So she heard about Jesus. Amen. And sometimes when you hear about the master, she made herself available. You see, good things come to those who believe. Better things come to those who are patient. But the best things come to those who never give up. Never give up, ladies and gentlemen, for the tide is just about the place and time where the tide will turn. See, more times than not, you are right at the point where you're about to get the blessing, and that's when the devil will rob you. That's why they call it sabotage. You see, sabotage is success at the last moment being robbed. What you got to understand is God will work on things, and sometimes right at the point when you're getting ready to get your blessing, you give up on the boy or the girl. Oh, y'all not feeling me. Okay, I'm just saying. What we got to understand is, ladies and gentlemen, dream until your dream come true. Amen. I had a dream years ago that I wanted to meet Oprah Winfrey. And I was just impressed with her years ago, back in the 60s and 70s. I was impressed with her truthfulness, her ability to be truthful. And I just always wanted to meet her. And make a long story short, I was on her debut show on the OWN Network. Out of 193 million people who applied for that show, I was number 5 in 10 finalists. And what got me there was God's Love Bank, that material on God's Love Bank. And anyway, so I get on the show, and to make a long story short, I walked off the show because Mark Burnett had set it up so that you would be competing the last man standing. Mark Burnett is the one who created Apprentice and those kind of shows. Well, he was the one who sponsored or executive produced Oprah Winfrey's Your Own Show. And the idea was, if you stayed on the show and you win the show, you have your own show. You get an Equinox, $100,000. I had planned to get all that. But when I got on the show, it was a gay man, several gay men. But the particular gay man, they were playing him against me because I was known as a gospel preacher in the Church of Christ. And so they kept playing him against me. And I'm all off my subject. But anyway, you know when they have a person sitting there and they ask them questions. What's really happening is the producers are asking them questions and they shoot them questions. I had about 5 producers just shooting questions at me. How are you doing this? What are you doing this? How do you know how to do this? And shooting these questions at me, and they were really trying to create drama. Now, I would admit, I didn't know about reality shows like that. I know now. It's all about drama, ladies and gentlemen. And so I could see it now. That they had that gay man and they was working him against me. I could see it now. Church of Christ preacher smacks gay man. All all over the country. Because really, I think I could have undermined them. I mean, I have not been a Christian all my life. I know how to go in and out among things. I had to get off that show before it got too late, if you know what I'm saying. Anyway, I walked off the show. Now my dream was to meet Oprah Winfrey. And I was on the stage, and all the people came up, and everybody's fainting and passing out, and the people are clapping. And here come Oprah Winfrey, smooth, calm. She walks up, and she says, "Hello." I said, "Oprah, I got some material called God's Love Bank that I want to get with you that can change the world." She walked past me and said, my, change the world. And she went on and doing her thing. To make a long story short, I met with her, visited with her, had a chance to meet her. That's all I wanted. I did want to get God's Love Bank on a national level, but I mean, that's what I wanted. What's your point? You got a right to dream, and dreams will come true. You got to understand that deep down inside of you, there's that deep, deep, deep longing for you to accomplish your paramount dream, your supreme dream, your highest dream. It's the wildest dream and the biggest dream. You got a right to dream. This woman, the second thing she did, she acted on the word. Look what the Bible says. Bible says, Luke chapter 8, verse 44, but she came behind Jesus and touched the hem of his garment. She came behind him. You know why she didn't come before him? Because she was bleeding. Now you got to understand something. She was ceremonially and socially unclean. She was bleeding everywhere she went. When she walked down the aisles, if she'd have came to church, she would be leaving a trail of blood. And now she's skinny. She's thin. She's weak. She smells. She stinks. She don't have any friends. She don't have any loved ones. She couldn't come down front. She couldn't come in like we do, fresh and clean. So she came behind Jesus. Jesus didn't even know she was coming. And when she got close to him, she reached out, the Bible says, and touched. She just touched the hem of his garment, and instantly her blood flow stopped. Now, I'm not a woman, but I believe women can relate to this more than men. Because sometimes that happens at a certain part of the month where they don't want it to happen, and you're trying to get home. Y'all hear me? And men, we can't relate to this fully, but she's bleeding, and she's bleeding, and all of a sudden it stopped. Why did it stop? Because Jesus said, somebody touched me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what we got to understand, sometimes you got to keep on believing in your dream. You got to keep trying. You got to keep reaching. You got to keep dreaming. The dreams is a part of your imagination put in you as your birthright from God. You have a right to believe in your dream, and sometimes your mama might not understand it. Your daddy might not understand it. Your cousin might not understand it. Your roommate may not understand it. Your husband may not understand it. Your wife may not understand it, but you got a right to dream.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Now, you know, sometimes you got to be bruised a little bit.
Yes.
She was bruised. Can you imagine all those doctors working on her? How do you think that made her feel as a woman? She's bleeding, she's broken, but she never stopped believing.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the third thing she did, she told a story. Now, I find it interesting. A lot of times we can have God bless us and we forget about it. I guarantee you, almost everybody in here, there's a blessing that you got from God and you have pretty much forgot about it and have not told anybody about it. I mean, you could have been broke, busted, and disgusted. They're getting ready to put you out of your house. And somebody paid your rent. And you don't tell nobody. Y'all ain't feeling me? Ladies and gentlemen, what we got to do is learn to tell our story so he can use our story for his story. Now, what we got to understand then, watch this now. This woman, the Bible says in Luke 8:47, when the woman saw that she could go unnoticed, she would go unnoticed, she came trembling, falling down before him in the presence of everybody. And she wasn't ashamed. Yes, I stink. Yes, I'm skinny. Yes, I've been bleeding. Yes, I don't have any friends. I haven't had a man in 12 years. Yes, I'm but I want everybody to know that there's a man named Jesus who changed my life and he touched me. You got to tell your story, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what? No matter how you feel, get up, dress up, show up. You know how people get depressed? They do it the same way every time. They go get their blue house shoes with the bunnies on it. They get their old robe, they put it on. Have you ever been depressed and decide you're gonna be there for a while? Every now and then we get depressed and we get stuck there. Ladies and gentlemen, what we got to understand is sometimes no matter how you feel, you got to dress up. Go to the mirror and smile at yourself. Crack up. I guarantee you can change your state if you just look in the mirror and just start grinning. Or if you want to change your state, there are three things that change your state. You can change the state of your spirit by what you say. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You can change your soul by what you say. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. And then the way you change your behavior, your physiology, just start doing something. Do the wiggly. My granddaughter had me doing this. I don't know, they call it the leg, and she was doing this. Come on, Papa. I said, come on. I'm out there doing it. And before I know it, I'm cracking up. What are you saying, Brother Roach? You have the power to live out your dream. Now, you know one thing I like about Michael Jordan? He would tell his story. He said, I missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted with the game-winning shot and missed it. I failed over and over and over again in my life, and that's why I'm a success. At the end of a city, at the end of a trail of failures, lies the city of success. Well, we got to begin to understand, ladies and gentlemen, you have the success because greater is he that what is in you than he that's in the world. Well, I got to wrap this thing up here now. For she never gave up on being healed. Amen. You know, God's time clock is not your time clock. Amen. The Bible says one day is like 1,000 years unto the Lord. Yes. See, you operating on your time clock rather than God's time clock, and you give up on God before he get through doing what he's going to do. Sometimes you got to wait on God, and you got to understand is you got to keep on believing in your dream in the midst of when it seems like it's not happening. Yes. Look what the Bible says. Verse number 30, 43 and 44. And a woman having a chronic flowing of blood for 12 long years, who had spent all of her living on doctors. Any of y'all get ripped off by the doctors? Yeah. Y'all ain't feeling me. Sometimes they get me. I'm scared of the dentist. Dentists cause more than the doctors. What are you saying, Brother? The doctors were ripping her off, and none of them could heal her. But she came behind Jesus. She touched the hem of his garment, and immediately the blood stopped. What are you saying, Brother Roach? What you got to understand is never give up until you've given out all you have, your very best. It's better to fail trying than to wonder what could have happened had you not tried. Babe Ruth said, it's better, don't let the fear of striking out cause you to lose the game or not play the game. A lot of us quit before we even get started. I met a man in the airport on my way here, and he was a guy, he was really excited, and he was mesmerizing everybody in the group. So he walks over to me, and he kept, like, looked like he was following me. And he came over to me, and one of the things he said, see, I believe that sometimes God will send strangers who are angels unaware. Amen. And sometimes God will bring somebody in your life at just the right time. And you know what he said to me? He said, I'm 70 years old. He said, I'm 70 years old, and guess what? The hard part is over now. I'm just about to live. Look at his attitude. You got to understand, ladies and gentlemen, God wants you to dream. Yes. Now, here's what happened to a lot of us with our dreams, especially our pyramid dream. Now, I want you to notice, he working like a fool right here. I mean, he's chopping, and you working on that dream, and you working on it. Then you get a little older and working on. And look, he get all the way here. He could have turned around and blew that wall down. And now look at him. What's the point? You probably right at the point of getting the blessing that God wants you to get right now. And you at the point where if you just hang in there and keep on believing in your dream that God will answer. Sometimes it's not your time to die. Some people die before their time. And the Bible talks about that. What do you mean, Brother Roach? You got to believe in your dreams because dreams keep you alive. Yeah. Now, look, ladies and gentlemen. Winners are not those who never fail. Winners are those who never quit. Last thing this woman did, she never gave up even if it made her look foolish. You know, some of us got so much pride. We're so busy trying to make ourselves look like we got it all together, especially when we come to church. We get all dressed up, sophisticated, smelling good. Some of us argue all the way to the church and then get out the car and say, hello. you know how we are. But what we got to understand is sometimes God can't do anything with you unless you look foolish. Sometimes the greatest works that God does, he does it because you are willing to surrender, even if it means looking foolish. Ladies and gentlemen, this woman, she was so into being healed. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says she came trembling, falling down. Can you imagine the disciples? Oh, Lord, here come another one of these people. I don't know what he gonna do with him. Now she's down there on the ground. And then in the midst of everybody, she declared that she wanted to be healed and she made herself look like a fool. And Jesus said, daughter, go in peace. Your faith have healed you. Not will heal you. Not maybe later. Not after a while. By his stripes, we are healed. Her faith. Watch this now. Now, here's what I want to say to you. I don't care if it makes you look foolish. Never, never, never give up on your dream. Everybody say it with me now. Come on. Never. Come on. Never. Never give up on your dream. Turn around and tell the person behind you, especially if you know them and you know they're giving up on their dream. Tell them. Never give up on your dreams. You know what? Even if it make you look foolish, like this baby right here. Look at that baby. Even if you make if it makes you look foolish, you in good company. Because some of the greatest works in the kingdom of God was done when God used somebody who looked foolish. I reminded of Noah. Noah looked foolish when he was building that boat in the middle of the desert. And everybody thought he was crazy, but he never gave up. And guess what? He saved the entire world. Moses looked like a fool when he stood up and held up a rod across the Red Sea. And he claimed that we're going to split the Red Sea like a deck of cards. Would you follow him? Can you imagine what people were saying? You crazy, man. I am going. And then all of a sudden, the ocean, the Red Sea split like a deck of cards. Why did he do it? Because he never gave up on his dreams. The Israelites who walked around the walls of Jericho. You remember how they walked around seven times? Now you got to understand what's happening. They're walking around the wall, and then at a certain point, they're all supposed to blow their trumpet. Now can you imagine being on the inside of the wall? Look at them fools. Them fools walking around this wall. What's wrong with them? It's raining out there. It's all kind of things out. What's wrong with them fools? Until all of a sudden, they heard something like, blook-up, 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 blook-up. And then a brick fall down. And it's all, Lord, the walls came tumbling down. Why did they come tumbling down? Because somebody had enough courage. Somebody had enough nerve to do what God wants them to do in the dream, even in the midst of the time when you look foolish. David had to look foolish when he ran up on a 12-foot giant with a sword and a helmet that weighed over 125 pounds, ran up to him, and the giant began to curse him and talk him down. David says, "You come to me with a sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of the living God." He took that slingshot and five smooth stones. And I always wonder why they said five, because he only used one. Walk up, hit that giant, and kill the giant. You know he looked foolish. Jehoshaphat had to look foolish, because God told him to fight against the Amalekites and the Jebusites and all them different enemies. And his generals came in and said, "We're being invaded." And the Bible says, and Jehoshaphat prayed and he sought himself to seek the Lord. And that was a man named Jehaziel, who happened to be the grandson of Zechariah. He said, "Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit," said the Lord. And the Bible says that tomorrow I want you to go down to the battle. Y'all listen to me, because somebody going to the battle tomorrow, somebody going to the doctor's battle, somebody's going to the supervisor's battle, somebody's going to school and trying to pass that pass, somebody's going to the divorce court, somebody's going, when you go down to the battle, he said, when you go down there, you shall not need to fight. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I like to look at it like this. Go to the battle, and when you get there, do it like a ping pong ball. Just stand there and watch the ball. You shall not need to fight. Be still. Take out your cell phone. Take a picture of what's going on. And the Bible says, and see the salvation of the Lord, the book says, working on your behalf. And the Bible says that the people believed him, and they went down to the battle. And when they got to the battle, guess what happened? The enemy began fighting against each other. Now they're in the ping pong ball up in the hill, and they're watching it. Lord have mercy. They're going kill each other. Oh, Lord. Oh, he got a diamond ring. He got some gold. Next thing you know, all of them dead. And the Bible says that they came in and took the gold and the silver. Do you know sometimes the battle that you think you're not going to win, you end up getting the silver, the gold, and everything to go along with it. Ladies and gentlemen, Jehoshaphat had to look foolish. I got to hurry. I got to go home. Daniel had to look foolish when he went into the lion's den. You remember how that the king commanded him, stop praying or I'm going to cast you into the den.
Come on now.
Stop praying or the lions will have you for lunch. The Bible says Daniel refused, and he never gave up on his dream. And the Bible says the next morning when the king woke up, he checked to see if Daniel was dead or not. And when he got in there, he looked and found that a lion had a big old toothpick in his mouth. He stopped the mouth of the lion. Have you ever been in a lion's mouth? Have your head ever been in a lion's mouth? Somebody in his head has been in a lion's mouth. You just didn't know it. How do you get your head out of a lion's mouth? Slowly, because all of a sudden, walk up, you don't have any more head. Daniel, ladies and gentlemen, had to look foolish. The three Hebrew boys had to look foolish. You remember how Nebuchadnezzar told him that he was going to cast him into the fiery furnace, and then he heated up the fiery furnace seven times hotter than it normally would be. And the Bible says that when he put the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when he put them in there, they came back, and the next morning, Nebuchadnezzar got up and said, I thought that we put in three men. And his servant said, Lord, we did put in three men. Then he looked and said, but I see four men. There's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but the other one looks like the Son of God. Somebody is in a fire. Somebody's going to a fire. But I'm trying to tell you, in the midst of your fire, Jesus will show up. If you understand how to keep dreaming your dreams. I got to close. But I'm reminded of Peter. I love Peter because he's a man of faith. Y'all remember when Peter had been fishing all night long and he didn't catch any fish. And Jesus was standing by the boat, and he said to Peter, go back out there, cast down your net for a draw. Now, you can imagine what Peter was thinking. Yeah. Wait a minute, Lord. I've been out there all night long. I know how to fish. You don't know how to fish. I'm a fisherman. You a carpenter. You don't know what you're telling me, and you want me to go back out there? But nevertheless, at your word, I'll be foolish because my other friends going to talk about me. Can you imagine the other fishermen out there? They mad already because they ain't caught no fish. And they see you going back out there, and now he's looking foolish. And he went back out there, ladies and gentlemen, and caught a net full of fish that was so overwhelming, he had to call his friends to help him out. I love Peter because Peter was that kind of guy who took chances. You remember when they were on the boat and Jesus showed up in the midst of the storm, and you remember his boys, his homeboys, his colleagues, his disciple friends, they got scared. I don't know about you, but sometimes the people that you need. Anyway, the disciples got scared and they said, there's a ghost out there. And Peter, he got to the edge of the boat and he says, Jesus? Jesus says, yes. Is that you? Yes. Is that really you? Now, you can hear the disciples in the back. You're a fool if you go out there in that wind. You got to be out of your mind. It's storming. Even if it is him, you don't want to go out there in that storm. And then he says, Jesus, is it really you? Bid me to come. Yeah. And all the Lord had to do is say one word. Come. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes God will tell you one word. Yeah. Go forward. It's yours. Yeah. Come. And the Bible says Peter jumped out of that boat, began to walk on the water, and was walking to Jesus. And I could hear some of his friends saying, ooh, he's walking on the water. Look at the wind. And the Bible says he began to sink when he started looking down. Yes. What are you saying, Brother Roach? You got to be like the three wise men. Can you imagine following a star and you don't know where it's going? Yes. Let me help you. Have you ever had your navigation system on like I had on my way here this morning? And I was going west when I should have been going east. I mean, I was going east when I should have been going west. Have you ever had your navigation system on and the navigation system is going a way that don't make sense to you? Yeah. Yeah. You begin to say, this lady is talking too much and she's not telling me the right way to go. And then you hang in there with it. You follow that navigation system. And all of a sudden, you get to where you're going faster than you would have gotten there. Can you imagine these wise men following a star? They knew it was a wise man that's supposed to be born. They knew it was going to be a baby born. They didn't know where the baby, and now they come up on a barn. So this thing got to be wrong. This is a barn. And then they went in the barn and looked in the barn in a manger. And looked in the manger, and guess what they saw? Baby Jesus, you know they had to feel foolish. I'm telling you, Jesus had to feel foolish when he was hanging on that cross. Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Lord, don't leave me. Don't give up on me. Are you really God? Do you really want me? If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. You know he had to feel foolish. He's bleeding now, blood coming down his face and down his brow. They put vinegar on his head and now he's burning and he's suffering. They're down there mocking him and making fun of him, calling him a fool for believing in God, gambling for his clothes. You know he had to feel foolish. But then the sun refused to shine. Yeah, that's right. And the veil of the temple split in twain right down the middle. Thundering began to occur. And we learn that God took the crown and gave him a crown for the Jews. God took the cross and made it one of the most powerful emblems that exist today. Amen. God turned the Roman cross that was built for shame for people who were foolish enough to die on it and changed the world. Yes. He split time in two from AC to BC. Where did he do it? on the cross. You know, I want to say something to you a little bit while I'm about to quit. Y'all just stay. Sometimes the best way to get somebody to change is to get on the cross. Yeah, man, when that girl is beating you wrong, I mean, not beating you, but doing you wrong, get on the cross. And on the cross, you can make some of the greatest changes in the world. On the cross. That movie, War Room, I'm not promoting that movie, but it's a powerful message. And it's all about how to transform people's lives like Jesus did. When they thought he was a fool, he became the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and he's lived, died, buried, and let's, while I'm passing here, stop focusing on him being buried. Stop focusing on him being dead. He's alive. Focus on the resurrection. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? If you keep on believing in your dream, I believe that you are here because God wanted you to be here. And 9 times out of 10, you were here because he knows you are just about to have your dream come true. Well, now I got to close. If you're a member of the body of Christ, we want you to know that you can live beneath your privilege. How do you live beneath your privilege? Fear, worry, doubt, being preoccupied with pain and bad news. Fear will rob you of your dreams. So all of those, when you're preoccupied with it, fear, worry, doubt, preoccupied with pain and bad news, is a sin. But we're supposed to live by what? Faith, hope, love, purpose, and what? Good news. So if you're living beneath your privileges, I recommend to you that you should ask for prayer or you should make a confession and get right and start living your dreams again. If you're a member of the if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you need to understand that God brought you here for a purpose. You're here for a reason. He wants you to obey the gospel and start living your dream. How do you do that? You've heard the gospel. Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. Believe it. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Repent of your sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 37 through 42. When you repent of your sins, be willing to confess Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9 and 10, and going further all the way to verse 17. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then you must go down in the watery grave of baptism and come up a new creature in Christ. The Bible says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, for the promises unto you and unto your children, and to all them that are afar, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. And the Bible says, then they that gladly received his word was baptized the same day. The same day you hear it, you can be baptized this morning. And if you're in this audience and you just need to ask for prayer, take advantage of your privilege. The invitation is a great privilege. Come and ask for prayer, and the saints will pray for you. Whatever your need is and your concern, you have the invitation right now as we together stand and sing. Come on to Jesus.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?